We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Excellent, everybody. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I welcome everybody to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Yeah. I'm so glad to be worshiping with you guys. Isn't it fun to be together? Yeah. Love it. And I want to welcome everybody that's joining us online, everybody that somehow you found us on the mystery that is the internet. No one knows how the internet works. It's a series of tubes with cat videos in it. But here you are. You found us, and we're so glad to be able to share Jesus Christ with you today. And we are excited to do just that. We are in the sixth week, if you can believe it, the sixth week of our series. What is it called? It's called Problem Solver. And last week, we talked about a very serious topic. We talked about loneliness. I'm telling you, loneliness is a problem that is just attacking many, many people. And I want to encourage you today that you can solve that problem. Redemption Church, we can solve the problem of loneliness simply by loving people, serving people, and being Jesus to people. All right. I love that. I love that you are greeted when you walk, when you drive into the parking lot. I love that you're greeted at the front door. That's a lot of work, but what that is a lot of people saying, you know what? I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to change the world. And they're doing that through friendship. They're doing that through serving others. This week, I really want you to come back to that sermon. If you can go check out that sermon again, go and listen to it again, because you are called to solve the problem of loneliness in our world. Somebody say amen if you believe it. This week, what if the problem is not your faith? It's not one of those sermons. I've been through a lot of those sermons where my faith got blasted out of the water. Your faith's not good enough. That's not that sermon today. The problem today is not your faith. The problem today is not your prayer life. I've had those sermons too. Sometimes I needed those sermons. But today, the problem is not that you haven't prayed. That's not the problem. Also, the problem's not that you've been lacking a Christian life. No, you've been going to church. No, you have a Bible and it's not covered in dust. You actually have read that Bible. You actually have a radio station you like to go to just because you hear about Jesus on that radio station. The problem today is not that. I'm not going to throw that at you. Also, the problem is not sin today. That's not the problem. That's not the problem we're bringing at you. Listen, we all struggle with sin, but our problem today is not sin. Are you still with me? Yeah. Some of y'all like, oh gosh, I wanted to hear all that stuff today. Well, come back later. We'll do that one. And then the problem's not serving, because you are serving and you are giving and God puts it on your heart to help others and you have done just that. None of that's the problem. Look at somebody and say, none of that's the problem. So what's the problem? Here's the problem. You have an unsolvable problem. Everybody say unsolvable problem. It's an important subject because I believe it affects every person. Everybody has or will or is experiencing something that is just largely unsolvable. I'm telling you that you did pray, you did go to church, you did believe, you did sing the songs, you did serve, and you still have an unsolvable problem. Can I get a little dark and just deep and real at the beginning of this sermon? Who gives me permission? Yeah. I'm going to tell you a name that, after this name, it takes me to a little dark of a place still. That name is Aria. Everybody said Aria. Aria is this sweet little girl that we pastored in this church. Suddenly, the situation came open that she needed someone to bring her in. She needed somebody to adopt her. And my family said, you know what? We're going to go do that. We're going to go be the problem solvers. We're going to go do that. We love her, and we know God has a wonderful future for her. And then, like, as we're going through the motion, all the paperwork will kill you, my goodness, going through all that stuff. But going through all of these things, then we get a phone call, and it says, Aria has a tumor, a very large tumor in her brain. And they try to have surgery on it, but the surgery doesn't turn out so good. In fact, I don't know if that surgery did more to hurt or to help sweet little Aria. And Aria had medical conditions beyond now a tumor. There were parts of her brain, that the frontal lobe does amazing things in your body, including it provides hormones that your body needs. And so now Aria has to have like 6, 7, 8 shots a day of medicine that replaces the hormone that her body is not producing. And she's now in the hospital, and we're like, all right, it's okay, it's all right. No need to panic, right? And we believed. Yes. We believed that God would turn this thing around. We prayed, and my goodness, my faith did not shrink. My faith said, God's going to turn this around. Yes. And we said, we're doing the right thing, and God honors the right thing. And so we just streaming forward, and we worked really hard. And then one day, we brought Aria home, and about 2 weeks in our home, she nearly crashed, and she nearly died in our arms. And we took her to the hospital, and we went to that ER, and they were more freaked out than me. My gosh, it was just something, like, I freak out very easily. The ER was freaked out. They called the CPS, and I got a phone call from the CPS that said, Aria is too much for your family medically, and we're going to take her. And that day was the last day. It was about July. We'll make 2 years. Aria was drugged out of it, not able to really say goodbye to her. My wife wasn't there. My whole family was separated. It was still in the days of only one person in a hospital. It was those days of post-COVID. And I saw them take Aria on a cart and load her into an ambulance and drive her off. And that was the last time I got to see Aria. Heavy situation. Yes. Will y'all just allow me to have heavy situation? Hey, can we allow each other to have unsolvable problems? Yes. Now listen, there is a time to tell somebody you got to have faith, right? That's really good. But that should never be like just a cliche you throw at somebody. Sometimes people throw, you got to have faith, as like, just calm down. Just calm down. I don't know how to deal with this problem. You just have faith on it. Like, duh, I am having faith. This is me crying and having faith. You can cry and have faith at the same time. You can go kind of crazy and still have faith at the same time. Oh, y'all listen, that is the truth. That is real, real talk. I want to just tell you, in this series, we talked about all these problems, and I want to tell you, we hit all these problems. Here they are. I prayed, but it still happened. Here's what I prayed. There was sickness, so I prayed for healing, right? I prayed for healing, but it didn't happen. And I prayed for a rescuer. We talked about that on week 2, but it didn't seem to happen. And I prayed for wisdom. I prayed, God, surely there is something, there is a little switch somewhere that is the answer to all this. I need a guide. I prayed for a guide, but we never seem to get that piece of information that solved everything. And then we prayed for somebody to come through and bring us this answer. For a companion, we prayed for a friendship that would pull us through this thing. And guess what? Everybody in this church, everybody we know did their best, but nobody was up to it. We prayed for all of this, and none of it happened. I want to tell you today that unsolvable problems feel like broken promises. And that's okay. You know, it's okay to yell at God. Have you ever yelled at God? Yell at God? You've yelled at God? Good. Good company. I've yelled at God. I didn't understand it. I yelled at God. I've been angry. And you know what? God has always responded really wonderfully to my yelling. He has never killed me. In fact, God has never gotten in a shouting match with me. He would win. And some of my wonderful stories in life are when I came to God really angry, and He came back to me with love and with blessing and with patience and with kindness and with gentleness. Oh, those stories are wonderful. I love those stories. But I want to tell you that those unsolvable problems I've faced in life, they don't feel so good. And they've made me question a lot of things. And maybe could somebody raise your hand if you've kind of gone through something a little bit like this. I don't get this. Maybe they let you ask these questions. Why God? What's this about? Haven't I always been a faithful servant? Why? What is this about? Maybe you got a call that said you had stage one cancer. And maybe it turned into stage two. And maybe it turned into stage three, into stage four. Maybe you had a problem in your relationship, in your marriage, and you prayed and you believed and you read the Bible and you did all, but still you got divorce papers and you were forced to sign papers you didn't want to. Maybe it was your kids. Gosh, nothing can hurt you like your kids. And you wanted your kids to grow up knowing this, and it's like they didn't want this. Maybe they didn't want faith. Or maybe you said, kids, don't go this direction. And my goodness, if they didn't go that direction. Yeah. They went towards drugs, and they went towards depression, and they went towards some unseemly things. Some things we wanted better for them than that, and they went that way. Or maybe it's finances, and you did your best to turn it around, but it just went right straight down. Or maybe, and this is the one that always just feels like it to me when I talk about this subject, it's the word funeral. Maybe you had a funeral. You prayed you wouldn't have a funeral. But maybe you did have a funeral. I'm telling you, I know where you've been. I know what it's like to get a phone call and say one of your friends is dying, and you have this sure hope in your life. Well, I'm going right now. We're going to pray. We're going to see this through. I know what it's like to stand on that faith, but still have a funeral. I know what that's like. I know what that's like. I've stood with people in this very room together. We've gone through that. It feels like problems get in the way of promises sometimes. I really love the promises. I love the promises of God. But sometimes there's these problems that just like go, wait a second. Is this really how the story goes? Unsolvable problems, broken promises, they often lead to anger. I've been there. They lead to confusion. Oh, a double load of that. I've had lots of that, lots of confusion. The why God stuff, oh man, I've been there. Or sadness, depression, a lack of joy, an empty feeling inside that's just, whoa, hard to talk about, hard to understand. And there's just this overall feeling of kind of a broken trust and broken faith. But I want to tell you today, and I'm going to title this sermon this, the answer to an unsolvable problem is an unstoppable promise. Will you pray with me all over this place? Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would talk to us today. Lord, through our problems and with the promise as we go through life, Lord, help us to understand this. Help us to not be one of those Christians that throws cliches around, but Lord, help us to really grab a hold of your promises. Help us to really understand your plan for us. Help us to really love one another who are hurting. Help us to be together for each other. In Jesus' name, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. How do we make promises, right? Now, I want to just tell you, here's the secret about my sermon, right? We reached the ground floor, okay? We're going to build up from here, all right? Here it is. How do you make promises? I want to think, as a kid, how did you make promises? Anybody ever make the unbreakable vow? The pinky promise? Any pinky promisers in this house? Oh, yeah, I'm a pinky promise keeper. One of those. That's me. All right. Or how about I swear? And there was a thing every kid knows to say. I cross my heart. I hope to die. 1,000 needles in my eye. Right? Everybody? Jake? Jake didn't. Yeah. All right, Jake. Jake's with me. All right. 1,000 seems a little over the top. Right? Or kids often get parents to make a promise, and that is a no bueno. That is bad stuff right there when your kid gets you, make you a promise. And you think nothing of it, but your kid's like, can we go to the park tomorrow? And you're like, that sounds like a very decent thing. I would like to go to the park. I'd like for you to just run all over the park and get so tired that you little angel come home and fall straight asleep. Of course, we can go to the park tomorrow. Big mistake. You don't realize it's a big mistake until tomorrow all hell breaks loose and the Texas weather just is controlled by the devil all of a sudden, and there are tornadoes and it's hail and there's rain and there are twisters. Everything is going crazy. Somehow Texas has a tsunami at that moment, and you know, oh no, and you're like, they're going to understand. They're going to understand that I said that was contingent on the something. No, you are going to get back the words, but you promise. And it's like, they don't care. They don't care that cars are flying through the air. You promised. You got to control the weather, Dad. We've been there. I've been there. How do you make promises? In the world, here's how we make promises. We swear by something greater than us. That's why you're in the court of law, or if you're going to take the oath of office, they actually take out a Bible still to this day, and you put your hand on it, and you say, I solemnly swear, and then there's words to say. Court of law, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And by putting your hand there, there's this understanding that you are swearing by something greater. Society still believes the word of God is greater. And then if you're ever like filing paperwork to buy a house or to get a loan or to buy a car, they will make you sign your name about 100 times. In fact, we were talking about this the other day. They made us not only sign our name like 100 times to buy the house, they made us sign our name 100 times just to apply for the loan. You're signing your name hundreds of times on the dotted line. And that is that you are swearing by your name, and that your very identity is now what you're swearing by. As long as I'm a person, this is me, I swear who I am, that I will purchase this and pay all the way too high interest rate on time. Yep. And then, of course, there is the very serious act of swear on the life of your mama. Did anybody ever do that one? Like I'm good for it. I'm good. Swear on your mama's life, and they're like, "Whoa, man, whoa, this is real serious, right?" But that's how we make promises. Are you with me? Yes. Now let me ask you this: how does God make a promise? Do they bring out a giant Bible, and the big hand of God goes, "I swear," the big voice of God. Nope. My goodness. How big is the pinky promise of God? Imagine how God makes a promise. Does he swear on his mama's life? No. God has no mama. He's got no beginning. He's eternal, right? How does God make a promise? And that's what I want to talk to you about right now. It's found in Hebrews chapter 6. Big verse. Verse 13 through 15. We'll have it up on the screen for you to see. Here it is. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Well, just pause on that verse. Stay right there on that verse, 13. That's like, instead of bringing a Bible out and he lays his hand on it, that's instead of finding a dotted line to write his name, it's like he puts his hand upon himself, because there is none greater than him. He doesn't swear by anyone greater, because there is no one greater. Looking on verse 14, here's what he says, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. Verse 15, and so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what does it say? Promised. All right, none greater. So God swears by himself. There's no one greater. There is no greater name. And there is no greater power than our Lord God. Do y'all agree with that today? Y'all believe that? So there's a concept here I want you to understand. We'll throw on this next sentence here. That the promise is made, worked, and kept is in God. The promise made, worked, and kept is in God. He doesn't swear by any other thing. He swears by himself. Okay? You get this concept? All right. God does not also hand off his promise to someone else to accomplish. He doesn't hand it to priests, pastors, and prophets to handle the promise. He also himself handles the fulfillment of every promise he makes. So he swears by himself. He makes the promise by himself. He fulfills the promise by himself. Are you following me so far? And his promises are self-contained within himself. When I think about a container, I think about a box. And when I think about a box in my Bible, I think about something called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. I want to tell you that God is a container. When in the Bible, it refers to God as the Ark of the Covenant. In the Bible, when it says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered, that was code for that God was the Ark, and they would lift up the Ark and go into battle and they'd go win. The Ark represented the very presence of God. They treated the Ark like it was God, and that seems really strange because why would God be a box? He's a box because he's trying to teach us that he contains things within himself. God is a container. Somebody say, God is a container. God is a container. The Ark of the Covenant represents God containing three promises. Inside the Ark of the Covenant are three items. Did you know this? Yes. And these items represent three promises. And these promises is made by God alone. It is worked by God alone, and it is kept by God alone. How many things are in the Ark of the Covenant?
Three.
Now, don't answer, but if you don't know what those three things are, and you'd like to know what those three things are, we can sit down, we can have a Bible study, you talk to me after church, we'll plan it, we'll have coffee, it'll be a very nice time, all right? Amen. But today, I want to move on, and I want to tell you, inside the Ark are three promises. Because God is a container. And all the promises are self-contained within him. The promises made, worked, and kept. It's all in God. Now wait, let's go back to Abraham. Remember Abraham? He made a promise to Abraham. What's, remember that promise? He made it. He kept it. He worked it. Let's see it. Verse 14 of Hebrews 6, it says, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. All right. Now it's the year 2024, right? Let me just ask you, we'll survey the crowd. Has this promise been fulfilled? Did God keep this promise, work the promise, and it's completely fulfilled? Very good answer. That's absolutely true. The fact that we have a nation called Israel is 100% part of. Also, you as a person of faith that follow after God, like Abraham followed after God, you are also part of this descendant promise. It is kept, right? But now I'm going to mess with you, okay? I look at somebody and say, oh, he's going to mess with us. I'm going to mess with you for just a second, Jesse. Here it is. Sorry, guys. Here it is. Did Abraham ever see the promise fulfilled? It said that Abraham received the promise. I'm telling you, there's a difference between receiving the promise by faith and seeing the promise fulfilled in your flesh. Here's what Abraham saw in his lifetime. He saw two grandchildren. He saw two grandkids. That's what he saw. He did not see a nation in his lifetime. He was promised to have all the land. He never had that land in his possession. He had the promise of it, but not the fulfillment of it, right? And he's promised to be so blessed. His descendants are going to be so numerous. It's going to be like the stars in the heavens. in the sand of the seashore. It's going to be like out of him comes a nation, but he only sees two grandbabies. My point is this, he did not see the promise fulfilled. In fact, Abraham hardly saw any of the promises that were made by God fulfilled in his lifetime. What's important about Abraham is not that he saw it all come to pass. Here's what's important about Abraham. He believed the promise. Somebody say, believe. He believed the promise. In fact, that's what's most noteworthy about Abraham. When we're talking about Abraham, we're not talking about, you know, his moral fiber, because the dude had a lying problem and lied more than once. Right? I mean, there's issues with Abraham, right? There's issues of his life where he left the promised land and went and walked in Egypt for a little bit, and we don't know much about those years. But here's what we do know about him. Two things. Faith. Somebody say faith. He believed the promise by faith. Faith means I don't see it yet, but I believe it. And then second, it was credited to him by God as righteousness. Somebody say righteousness. So when he believed, it was both faith and it was righteousness. What do we mean about righteousness? Somebody say the word right standing. You are doing something correctly if God calls you righteous. And what was righteous about him was his faith. His faith. Faith and righteousness, all because he believed. If Abraham were here today, you know what? He would have really loved that song we sang a while ago. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Sometimes we don't see it happening. All we see is the unsolvable problem. The unsolvable problem for him was, I'm supposed to have many, many children and I can barely have one. Right? That's his unsolvable problem. But he believed the promise, even though he faced an unsolvable promise, a problem. The promise made, the promise worked, the promise kept is in God. I want to tell you today that faith is trusting that God will come through on every promise. Yeah. Faith is simply trusting, even though you can't see it, even though you can't feel it, you believe that God's going to come through on every promise. Even if you leave this earth like Abraham did, leave this earth without seeing the promise, he believed it would come because it is contained by God. It is made by God. It's worked by God. And it's kept by God. But let me talk about one of our biggest problems. Here's one of our biggest problems today. You got to get this. This is important for everybody. Everybody watching, listening, don't go to the video yet. Stay with me. I want to talk to you about fake problems. Everybody said fake problems. There, fake promises. I'm getting it wrong. Somebody help me. Somebody, fake promises. There are fake promises, and we quote these things like they're Bible verses, and they are nowhere in the Bible. Here's a few of them. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness, listen. God, your parents asked you to clean your room. Kids, clean your room, all right? But it's not going to make you clean closer to God, all right? Just help you with that. Number two, God helps those that help themselves. That is just, that doesn't make any sense. Because God has to help me. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do it at all. I am not able to help myself at all. It's like, my gosh, The other thief on the cross, he couldn't help himself. And Jesus says, here, I'll help you. I was like, he was not like, let me find somebody who doesn't need my help at all, and that's who I'm going to help. That doesn't make any sense. God helps those that help themselves. That's a fake promise. How about this? God will not give me more than I can handle. I'm telling you, that's a fake promise. That's actually a misquotation of Scripture. This Bible says that God will not test you beyond what you can bear without giving you a way of escape. And they totally misquote that to say, he won't ever put more on you than you can bear. Let me tell you, all of this is more than I can bear. All of it. please don't think bad about me. That's just literal truth. And that's all of us. All of us, we can't handle this. God has to help us. God has to save us. We can't do it on our own. And there's another one that life is somehow supposed to be easy. Sometimes this prosperity gospel is like, God, life is just supposed to be an easy life. Let me tell you, all of these things are fake promises. And sometimes we hold God to promises He did not make. And a lot of times people walk away from faith because they have believed this was said by God. When what didn't happen, they're like, well, where's my easy life? Where is my Cadillac, God? Where is my fancy house? Where is all my prayers answered on my timeline? Where is it, God? God's not real. I'm walking away. And God's like, what were you talking about again? I never said such a thing. Somebody said fake promises. God never said it. And I want to tell you, it messes up faith to hold God to promises He did not make. And if you do that, that will mess up your faith. And maybe that's happening. Maybe that's happening in us. Maybe that's happening in your friends. And maybe you get to talk to them about that. And, you know, what is it about this that you think God heals every person you pray for? God heals, absolutely. But guess what? People still die. In fact, 100% of people other than Jesus die and stay dead at this point. That's just a thing, right? It's a thing. In fact, if you want to talk about promises of God, here is one nobody wants to put on a t-shirt. Here's the promise of God. It's John 16 and 33. In this world, you will have blessing. That's what we wanted to say. In this world, you will have lots of power. In this world, no. What does it say, people? Somebody help me. You will have trouble. Somebody say trouble. We're not talking trouble. We're talking trouble. I'm talking that kind of trouble. This world is full of trouble. Jesus didn't hide this. But I'm telling you, there's some churches that say if you have trouble, it must be your fault. It must be your faith issue. It must be that you haven't prayed enough. It must be that you aren't doing this Christian life right. Can I set you free from that? That is not anything God said. He said the opposite of it. But that verse doesn't end there. He says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. I want to tell you, in this world, there are problems. But every problem in this world, Jesus Christ has overcome. That's the promise. That is what we hold on to. Where was the promise made? Oh, it was made, and it was worked, and it was kept in who? In God. Remember, I told you that God does not hand off His promises to someone else. I want to be very clear about this, that God invites us to work along with Him. But that doesn't mean that the promise is reliant upon us. Y'all follow me? We're working for God. We're serving God. We're obeying God. We're doing all the stuff. But that doesn't mean that the promise is relying on us. Let me tell you, many pastors have failed, but the promise is still true. I've had pastors love to death and they failed so miserably they can't preach a sermon today. They can't even be trusted around people today. And I'm going to tell you, some people walked away saying, what's that? That is such a shame. I'll never trust God again. And it makes me want to shake them and say, the promise was never about the person. The promise is contained in God. They are self-contained in God. So they're self-contained in who?
God.
All right. Yes. I'm a mess with you, Jesse. I just haven't messed with you enough. Here it is. So somebody explain this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. In who? In Christ. Wait, I thought you said He didn't hand off the promises, but somehow this promise is found in a man that was born in a manger in Bethlehem, and he walked around Galilee, sometimes on water, and he walked into Jerusalem, and he hung on a cross. That it's in him. That's what Paul's saying. Where is the promise found at this point? It's yes in Christ. I need you to explain that. Think about that. And it goes on to say, and so through him, who's the him here? Christ, the amen, that means that it is so. So be it. The finished work of it. Yes is like the start of it. Amen is like it's done. Is spoken by us to the glory of God. What does that mean? That means now that it is through him spoken by who?
Us.
That's kind of different. I want you to think about that. What is that about? Okay, here's what it's about. It's about that the God's promises are made, they're worked, and they're kept in Jesus. Why? I'm glad to tell you, because Jesus is God.
Amen.
That is an essential thing. And if anybody has questions about that, I am your huckleberry, is the term. I am there to talk to you about that. That's a Tombstone reference. It's a movie reference. Listen, what am I saying? If you want to talk about how Jesus is God, I will talk to you for as long as you want. I am never tired about talking about such a subject. Jesus is a man, but he's more than a man. He's God. Jesus is God, but he's more than God. He's also a man. He is both. He is both of those things. That Jesus is not someone else that has put the promise upon, but Jesus is God as a man now making, working, and keeping all the promises within himself. And that is how all the promises of God are yes in Christ. And they are amen through Christ. And when we have Christ, then they're spoken through us. I'm telling you, the promise is not kept by you, made by you, or worked by you, but the promise is spoken by you. What am I doing today? I got a little promise. It's from God, and I want to say it to you today. God's promises are yes, and they are amen. The answer to an unsolvable problem is an unstoppable promise. That promise made, that promise worked, and that promise kept. It's all in Jesus. Here's what you got to know. You cannot solve the problem. I cannot solve brain tumors. The best doctors we could find, and we went to the best doctors in this whole region, they were not able to solve that brain tumor. You can't solve the problem, but can I tell you something? Jesus can.
Jesus
can solve that problem. Now, let me be real with you. Sometimes that answer to the problem is a little different than you expect. And that's where it's hard. Teresa, that's where it's hard, right? We want it to be like this, and sometimes it's not like this, but the promise is still in Christ, and it is still true, all right? Like Abraham. Now we're going back to how can I say that, Pastor Chris? Because of Abraham. That's exactly how I can say all this. Like Abraham, we may not see the promise fulfilled, but we can believe. Somebody sing these words with me. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never. One more time. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. Isn't God good? Clap your hands for God. Isn't he good? Well, listen. I've got the way I want things to turn out. They don't always turn out like that. But God's promises are still true. Could anybody use some good news?
Yeah.
I got a call. It's about a week and a half ago. Just a random call. Somebody said, do you know a young lady named Aria? We said, yeah, we do. Can you talk to us about Aria? She said, well, I was hoping you could talk to us about her. I'm like, what do you want to know? That little angel, we're happy to talk about her. And this was somebody that was working inside the government for CPS, and they're looking for somebody that Aria can have a connection with. And they're working on inviting us to be able to have a one-on-one video conversation with Aria. Can I tell you, I thought that was impossible. I thought that couldn't happen. That was the unsolvable problem. And now that looks like it's going to happen. And I started to, well, can I ask you some things about sweet princess darling Aria? She said, yeah, go ahead. I said, how is she? Can she walk? And she said, what? That girl walks all over the place. She's everywhere. She's walking everywhere. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Can she talk? And you're like, her vocabulary is like over the top. And we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. When me and my wife are looking at us, we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're like the animals from the old Sesame Street. And they go, wow, 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 wow. Well, that was us. We were like blown away by that. We're like, wait, wait, wait. God's doing it.
He's doing it.
We didn't know. We couldn't see it. We couldn't feel it. But God's doing it. And that's great news. That's great news. Here's what I want you to get. I want you to get this. I can still tell God that is not how I want it. And I can do that. God can handle that. But what I wanted that girl healed right here and there. And I had the faith for it. But here's the deal. This is what I want to bring you to it. This is for everybody in here. Where is the promise contained? Is it contained in Chris Fluitt? Is it contained in how Chris Fluitt thinks it ought to happen? The great news is this. Because it's contained in God, it doesn't matter what happens to Chris Fluitt. The promise is still there.
It's still good.
Listen, some people that were pastors to you and leaders to you, you put the promise in them and they failed. I want to tell you, you put it in the wrong place. Put the promise in Jesus Christ because he doesn't fail. He rises from the dead. Every other person will fade and fall away. I am full of failure. I am a failing person at every turn. Do not put the promise in me. Redemption Church, if I fall dead tomorrow, the promise was never in me. The promise is in the one who made it. Who works it and who keeps it. God's a big box of promise. And he contains and he holds every promise. That means every promise. We're talking promises back in early Genesis. They're for you today because they're kept by God. The promises unto Abraham are yours today because they're kept by God. The promises that Jesus made when he walked the earth, they are still for you. Why? Because they were kept by God. Not by disciples, not by high priests, not by Pharisees, not by moms and dads, but by the eternal God. And he holds every promise in his hand. You believe that today? I want to ask our worship team to come. We're landing the plane, I like to tell you. We're drawn to the close here. I'm going to ask my worship team to come, but I want to keep your attention right here if I can. I want to remind you that the answer to an unsolvable problem is an unstoppable promise. Oh man, this. How frustrating must it be to be the devil? Really, it feels like he's winning sometimes. He has not been able to take one promise that's found in God away. He's not got a single victory in that area.
Oh.
My question for you today is, what should you do with this? And around you are note cards. We actually put them in the little containers around you. If you look around, there's little note cards. Go ahead and pull out a note card. This is for you. And if you need a pen, we'll walk around and you can grab a pen. But I want you to write something down today. Here is your assignment. I want you to take a note card. And on one side of that note card, I want you to write down what you have that is an unsolvable problem. And I want you to write it down. Some of y'all immediately know. Y'all are like right there. Some of you are thinking a little bit, and that's all right. I want you to think about what is your unsolvable problem. And I want you to write that down. Write that down. Now, I want to honor you today. I'm not going to ask to see your unsolvable problem. I'm not going to ask you like post it online. But I'm asking you to get really real and say, this is my unsolvable problem. It could be health. It could be something in your past. It could be a relationship that won't reconcile. It could be a mistake that you can't fix. But what is it? That unsolvable problem. I want you to write it down. Write that unsolvable problem down. And I want you to turn that card over, and I want you to find a promise of God. I just wrote down some promises of God. These are the first ones that came to my mind. If we could throw those on the screen, please. These are just some promises that you will find from God in your Bible. I want you to find one that specifically answers your unsolvable problem. If your unsolvable problem is that your sweet Mamaw, that's what I call my grandmother. There was a time in my life that was a real unsolvable problem for me, that she was taken from us and I didn't want that to happen. What, looking up there, somebody help me, what would be a promise that I can have for my unsolvable problem of burying my grandmother? There it is. Somebody say it. Eternal life. Yes. That my grandmother is a believer in Jesus, and I believe today, although this problem, I can't bring her back. That's unsolvable for me. I believe, according to Scripture and according to this promise, that she is in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lillian, I believe that. What's your problem? What's your promise? Pick one. Pick one. Maybe there's one that comes to your mind. Maybe you don't know that one of these promises is true. That's a Bible study right there. We could talk about the promises that you need to hold on. I want you to write down that promise, and I want you to believe that promise. And I want you to consider how that promise is made, how it's worked, and how it's kept now in Jesus. How is it made? How is it worked? How is it kept in Jesus? And I want you to write that down. And I want you to believe it. We've taken some time here, but it's worth it. Guys, this is how you overcome this heartache. You don't always overcome the hurt. Sometimes it still hurts. Tree, it still hurts. But this is how you can look forward. Past yourself, past the length of my arm, what I can do, what I can solve. Way past this is what God can do. And I believe that promise. And I'll believe for your promise. Today, if you've got one of these things and you're like, Chris, I see that promise up there, and forgiveness, that would be the answer, but I don't see it for me. I'll see it for you. I'll pray with you today. I believe it. I'll pray with you. Whatever promise you can't contain, can't believe, come to me. I'll pray with you. And I've got this last action. By faith, bring your problem and your promise. And let's pray. By faith, bring your problem right now and your promise. And come to pray. These altars are open right now. If you want somebody to pray with you, I want to pray with you. If you just kind of want to be left alone, we'll do that too. You just kind of don't be near the front, and I won't mess with you. I won't. You can just stay where you want to stand if you want that too. There's no problem with that. I would just invite you to pray, and I invite you to worship. They're going to sing that promise, that Waymaker song again. And I want you to maybe hold up your card and pray that. All over this place, could we stand and can we lift up our problem and our promise to Jesus? Lord, you are the ultimate problem solver. I'm praying for you, friends online right now. I'm praying for you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would solve every problem. Lord, all the problems that we can't solve, they are beyond our reach, God. Nothing is beyond your reach. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you are the one who made the promise. You're the one who works the promise. You're the one who keeps the promise. The promise is found in you. It is kept inside of you. We surrender it right now to you in the name of Jesus. Come, God, bless us in this moment, in this moment, in this room, in this moment, talking to you, God. Minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's talk to God. There's an answer in this room tonight. Let's get a hold of it in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.